Please join me in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day. And we ask that your Spirit would clear our hearts and minds of every distraction, every wandering thought, and draw us into a full attentiveness to your presence, your living word. May this word shape us, mold us, and free us to walk the path of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing in our fall series in the Ten Commandments, taking each commandment one week at a time. If you were here at the beginning, we talked about how the first commandment calls us to put God first, to seek and attend to God in every texture of life. And if you were here for the second commandment, we talked about how it speaks against boxing God in. We spoke about attending to the butterfly and being careful not to pin the butterfly down. If you were here last week, we talked about the name of God and how the way we live and act and speak either fills the name of Jesus with weighty substance or empties it and leaves it void or in vain. And today, we come to the fourth commandment. Hear now the word of our God from Exodus 20, verse 2, and then 8 through 11. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And then from Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus also speaking to the rest to which we are called. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Every time I travel for vacation or time with family, I have this aspirational goal of not traveling with a carry-on. If I can find a way to check my one bag for free, which admittedly is increasingly very difficult, but if I can do that, I have this idea that I'd really love to head to the airport with nothing but maybe headphones and a good novel. And that's it. Very simple, lightweight, nothing that has to do with my responsibilities back home or at work, truly just vacate. And then, nearly every single time that I am packing before I travel, I find myself thinking about all the things that I didn't finish at home, I didn't finish at work, all the things I know are going to be there when I return, all the tasks, all the meetings. And then I think of all the different reasons I might have to worry because I'm not going to be present when this situation or that situation is going to unfold. And so I inevitably pick up my computer, which I was trying desperately not to pack. And I slide that computer into the carry-on bag I didn't want to bring because that computer allows me to remain tethered to the stuff back home. I can stay invested and in control of situations if I want via email, or at least I can be in on the conversation loop and be thinking about what's going on and probably worrying about what's going on. I can type up to-do lists. I can catch up on old projects and get ahead on ones that are going to be waiting there anyway. One would think if you're given an opportunity to just cease and rest, that is a gift to be received with open arms, and yet so often there I pack my 2.5-pound computer, a very small weight for my shoulder, but a significant one for my heart and my mind. And seemingly, I can't help myself. It makes me wonder then how the Israelites first heard the fourth commandment about Sabbath. a word whose verbal root means to cease. The fourth commandment is the longest one by far, so they must have recognized God was trying to underscore something essential. And part of me thinks maybe the Israelites rejoiced. Up until this time, all they'd ever known was ceaseless labor under Pharaoh's Egypt. All their days just blended into one continuous mass of labor and productivity. Bricks and straws, pyramids and towers. And here now they have this new sovereign, Yahweh. And Yahweh says, to you who've only ever known work and more work, to you who've only ever known the feeling of not getting enough done and never keeping up, to you who've only ever been enslaved to an unceasing economy, take a day of rest. Work six, and then on the seventh, do just as I did. Rest. And by the way, don't let those around you work either on that day. Your family, animals, the foreigners residing in your midst. Did they exhale with relief? For the first time, being treated not as human doings, but human beings. The burden of productivity lifted, and in fact, it was a whole society was going to be given the gift, 1 in 7, of rest and recovery and renewal. Or was there something anxiety-producing about this commandment for the Israelites? As they stood out in the wilderness, some days just barely getting together enough crops to muster a livelihood, and some days just barely keeping whatever animals they could alive, did they worry? Did they worry what would happen if they don't keep working every single day, if they don't remain vigilant and attentive? I mean, I worry what the gift of rest might mean for my productivity. They likely worried what the gift of rest might mean for their very lives. It is evident from the amount of scripture devoted to Sabbath keeping throughout the rest of the Bible, the generation after generation of God's people struggle to obey the fourth commandment, this gift of rest. In fact, at one point, the prophet Amos, he's calling the Israelites to account because they have the appearance of faithful. They are not working on the Sabbath, but listen to what they're saying. When will the new moon be over so we can sell grain? And the Sabbath so that we can offer some wheat for sale? When does this day end? Come on, we are itching to get back to it. We need to make some money. We need to take care of our families. We need to pay off some debts. We need to get some savings in case we have a bad year of crops. It's very difficult, this out of control trust and rest thing. We get to the New Testament and think perhaps we don't need to think about all this in the same way. And the New Testament's a little less clear precisely how Christians are called to honor the fourth commandment. For instance, in the writing of the Apostle Paul, it's clear something has changed. He's writing to the church in Rome in chapter 14. He says, look, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Some see a 24-hour Sabbath day as uniquely sacred to honor. Others don't. Let each be convinced in his or her own mind. Paul sees theological merit to both. And Paul gives some more of his thinking in elaboration when he writes to the Colossians. And he says, look, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Don't let anyone judge you by what you do with a Sabbath day. These, including the Sabbath day, are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The Sabbath day is fundamentally a shadow of the reality found in Jesus Christ. The 24-hour day is good. A good practice, but its substance, which is rest, is most fundamentally found in Jesus. And Jesus is with us every day by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just 1 in 7. And so to honor the true meaning of the Sabbath, the deepest meaning of the Sabbath, would mean to somehow rest in Jesus every single day. And so if anything, the New Testament intensifies the Sabbath commandment and obedience to it. Well, what does it mean to every single day rest in Jesus? The Heidelberg Catechism, written in 1563, it's found in the Presbyterian Church's Book of Confession, is helpful here. At one point, it's talking about how the church is to honor the fourth commandment, and it reads, "That I cease from my evil works all the days of my life, allow the Lord to work in me through his Spirit, and thus being in this life the eternal Sabbath." All the days of my life. It makes clear that the root of the fourth commandment is not simply a ceasing one and seven, but a ceasing every single day of selfish ways, anxious ways, controlling ways, sinful ways, every single day allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me. So the deepest obedience of this commandment is a daily command, in short, to cease from our ways and allow God's ways. A daily command to let go of control and cede it to the Holy Spirit. Jesus puts the command in the form of a gracious invitation you heard. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I am the Sabbath substance. Come to me with the baggage that is really your effort to stay in control. Some of us this morning, we have relationships that are hurting or broken, and we've been replaying the angst in our minds over and over, and we're thinking up ways we could just control that person or change that person or make things work, and that could be a heavy baggage. Some of us have workplace situations that are trying, and our stomachs turn into knots thinking about a coworker, or we project all of these future terrible possibilities that could unfold, and so we scurry with anxious energy to do whatever it takes to change things like we think it needs to be, and that can be a heavy bag. We watch the debates, and we cannot fathom our country with him or with her. And we cannot fathom our family members who think it should be him or her. And disagreements move to anger, move to trying to change and mold. Their perspective turns to name-calling, turns most dangerously to silence. And all along, perspectives paradoxically harden. Trying to stay in control of another's perspective, trying to stay in control of the country, that can be heavy baggage. And we as individuals, as families, as a church, we are prone to look at money and budgets, and we grow anxious with what-if scenarios and those future projections that are not real but imagined, and they start to grow with weight, and we funnel our anxiety into spreadsheets and plans and efforts to control, and that can become weighty baggage. It is not wrong of us to work hard and to plan wisely. But let's give our hands an honest look this morning. Is any of the baggage we carry really there because it's all about us trying to stay in control? Trying to stay tethered, all about our fears, all about us trying to shape and mold and keep things and make things the way we're sure they're supposed to be? Come to me, all you who are weary and have heavy baggage, and I will give you rest. Drop the bags, let it lie fallow, and trust me, the author and giver of life. And the truth is, when you start to learn to travel lightly, it changes the journey. I flew to Chicago earlier this summer, and I was able to check one bag for free, and so my carry-on was just a book. And traveling lightly is an odd experience. Security goes really fast. Space in the overhead bins is not something to compete for. I'm not engrossed in all of my emails and all the rest. But the thing I found most interesting is that when you don't have baggage yourself, you notice everybody else's baggage. And I had free hands to help. I mean, I wasn't weighed down. I found myself helping two different folks get their heavy bag into the overhead bin. I found myself helping this couple fold their infant stroller. Nothing remarkable at all. Just free hands and less weight meant I could be available. There is a direct correlation between emptying our baggage and being available to assist in lifting our neighbor's baggage. Once you lay the burden down before Jesus Christ, the hands are then free to pick up and carry a cross. Love God, trust God, rest in God, and find that your hands are free to love neighbor. Because, right, remember how the fourth commandment reads, on the Sabbath day, you shall not do any work. You rest, you trust, you open. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. You rest, and then you also ensure others rest. Receive the rest, and then gift the rest. In this context, the commandment was given to people with power and money, heads of family, people with the power to affect change in society. And they're called to rest and then use that saying that freedom to create the conditions in which everyone else can offload the weight of their work and enjoy the gift of rest. There is a direct correlation between emptying our baggage and being available to help lift our neighbor's baggage. I was talking recently with one of the employees of Pristine, the cleaning company that keeps the building clean every night of the week here at the church. And he was telling me he lives about 3 miles from the church, and unless the weather's just horrible, he walks. I said, 3 miles? Every evening? Well, except Saturday evening. Each evening? Both ways? What about the bus? He says, well, the bus takes about an hour to get here, and I can walk faster than that. He went on to say that, honestly, he appreciates the exercise. Really not a big deal. But then I asked him, I said, well, what about your neighbors? And if they don't have a car, you know, now I think about it, what about the 25% of the city of Richmond that lives at or below the poverty line? And what if they need to work 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 miles away? And what if they're not healthy enough to do 6 miles walking? And what if they have children they need to tend to and dinner times? And he said, well, they take the bus. It just takes them a really long time, and it eats into all the things you're mentioning. And I thought to myself, man, if you live in the city and you don't have a car, you may very well be resigned to much less rest. I mean, literally, a significant portion of your day is eaten up by travel or travel concerns. And then, of course, the lack of mental rest that accompanies finding and figuring out jobs and groceries outside of a walking distance. And then, of course, whatever guilt or angst comes with not being as present to children. In fact, as some of you are aware, that the D.C. think tank, the Brookings Institute, did a study in 2011 that ranked Richmond 92nd out of 100 major U.S. cities in regard to transportation coverage and job accessibility. And to be sure, there is debate about how much public transportation can be improved, how it should be improved, how much should be privately and publicly funded, and all the rest. But the bottom line is that a good number of our neighbors have some baggage about which they can do very little. And there is a direct correlation between emptying our baggage and being available to assist with the weighty baggage of our neighbors. Thanks be to God that some here in this church have sensed a call to use their free hands to work on public transportation options that can ease our neighbor's burden. Of course, we know that folks are weighed down in our midst in countless other ways. We have congregants who are homebound or hospitalized, and they are weighed down with thoughts of regret or fear. We have folks in our midst weighed down by job searches and tight budgets. We do have children in our midst weighed down by failing school systems. We have friends weighed down by grief, others weighed down by a lack of purpose and meaning. And to the fourth commandment's direct point, we absolutely have foreigners in our midst, weighed down by not knowing the language, not knowing the same dignity they once knew in another land. And there is a direct correlation between emptying our baggage and being available to assist with the weighty baggage of our neighbors. And here's the thing, I didn't even notice the other heavy bags all around me in all the ways that I could help until one day I showed up to the airport without a bag. Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That is the essence of the Sabbath invitation. Will we cede control? Will we lay our baggage that is really about control when it comes to our lives, our church, our city, and will we trust Jesus Christ with whatever may come? And just as the bags release, be sure to look up and see if God hasn't placed someone you hadn't noticed previously in your heart's line of sight. And they have heavy bags, and our hands are free. Amen.